You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.
What it is, what it do, welcome to Fresh Take. Joshua Adam Lamar, not very, very excited today to have Elrie Platt. Don't forget that S. On the podcast today. Elrie, how is it going?
It's good, Josh. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Glad to have you on. You know, just kind of full closure, we got a chance to work together with the dogs, but you do so much more than just with the dogs, doing a lot at MRU, doing stuff with the Stingers. So I'm excited to get into your career so far and where everything is going.
All right. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's just start with some basic questions to start it off with. So first off, on the photography side, obviously you should follow her on Twitter. We'll give a take for that at the end. But one of the more, you know, it being in the world of sports like I am and being a broadcaster, you see so many photographers. So when I tell you that you're one of the better ones, I think you know that I'm telling the truth, because there's so many sports photographers out there and you do a fantastic job. But where did the love of photography originally start?
First off, thank you. That's really, really nice of you to say. I think photography-wise, I got a camera shoved in my hand when I was probably 4 years old from my parents just to keep me occupied. I think sports photography-wise, I got super into it when I was in probably first year university. I had a friend of mine who was playing ball out there, and I was in journalism school. And he said that their photographer was awful, only came to one game, and all he wanted was one picture to send home to his mom so he could prove that he played university basketball. So he asked me to come out, and I had never done it before. I said, these are probably going to be awful. He said, that's okay. And then I did it, and I absolutely loved it. And then my university asked if I would come on for the rest of the season, photograph some basketball, some badminton, some volleyball, anything and everything I could get my hands on. And then from there, just I never stopped.
And it was always a connection to sports for photography more than almost anything else.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, I grew up playing sports and I've always had a soft spot for sports. I've always wanted to work in sports. Even when I went to journalism school, it was with the focus of going into sports. So I guess it was an easy transition that way.
What did you play growing up?
Oh, what didn't I play? I was one of those kids that couldn't sit still. My mom put me in karate, soccer, basketball, wrestling. I was a dancer. Like, I did a little bit of, everything, track and field. I don't know. And then when I was probably 10, I started playing field hockey. Absolutely fell in love with it. Was playing basketball until I was probably 16. Then I had to quit one and focus on the other. So I stopped basketball, really focused on field hockey. Went to university, played field hockey, ended up playing badminton my fourth year of university too. But I don't know, a little bit of everything, I guess. But if I was taller, I probably would have been sticking.
just a Swiss Army knife then, eh?
Something like that, I guess.
What was the first kind of thing that made you fall in love with sport? Was there a team? Was there a player?
Maybe my dad. My dad was my soccer coach when I was like 3 years old, and he just did everything in his power to keep it light and fluffy and make sure we were all having fun at all times. And I think I just loved the idea of being outside as much as possible and running around, and I don't know, the endorphins and the adrenaline of it all. But I think having a supportive parent who is also a parent and a coach made a big difference for me.
Do you have like a favorite like sports memory for watching a player or a team?
Watching?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you can't do that to me.
Tough questions are coming out.
It really is though. I don't know. It's probably super cliche, but I don't know, Kawhi's bucket that just bounced back and forth on the rim and held everybody in anticipation for so long was, I don't know, you could feel it, you know? Like, I wasn't there, but you could feel like you were there, and I'll never forget that moment. And I'm a huge basketball fan, so.
Well, what was that? What was the experience like watching that show? I know everyone kind of has their different story of like, because that's one of those memories where you remember exactly where you were when it happened, right? So kind of maybe just walk me through, like, what was your experience watching it?
Well, funnily enough, I was at a friend's place and she was so very not into sports. And I was like, we can't miss this game. I know you have other plans for us today, but for the love of God, I can't miss this game. And she was trying to leave the house. She was trying to go downtown. And I was like, we can't leave yet. We can't leave yet. It's not done yet. It's not done yet. She was like, oh my God, the game's done. Like, you already know what's going to happen. I was like, no, no, you have to stay. We have to stay. We have to watch it. And it was just me, like, on the edge of her couch, like, freaking out while she's at the door, like, tapping her foot, we need to leave. And then it happened, and there was, like, this flush of relief, and I was like, okay, now we can go.
I've told the story a few times on here, but I bounce, and I thought I missed. I'm like, and I was like trying to hold in before going to the washroom. I'm like, well, it's overtime. I'm just going to run to the washroom. And then I like turn my back kind of for 2 seconds. And I hear my watching with my folks, and my mom's just like, holy fucking shit. I'm like, turn around. I'm like, oh damn, it went in. Cause I really thought it was just a million shots, that it was just going to tip out and whatever happened. So yeah, definitely a crazier play.
Oh my God. Yeah. I was probably doing the exact same squat as Kawhi when it was going into.
Would you say the Raptors are your team?
Yeah, probably. That and probably Chicago, but that's just because I have a soft spot for DeMar and always will, always have.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen that with a few. Well, I mean, but people after the Jordan documentary, that happened with a lot of Chicago Bull loving people that grew up with Mike. Also, I think can't just hold a soft spot for Chicago no matter what, right? I mean, now we even have Giannis saying, maybe I'll go play for the Bulls.
I know. I don't know what I would do if Giannis signed with the Bulls. I feel like I need to, like, have somebody hit me so I knew I wasn't dreaming.
Yeah, no kidding. So then you had both those kind of mixed worlds, and then did, you know, your love of sports and everything like that, did that combine to, you know, wanting to go to school and take journalism?
I think my sports were just kind of like an afterthought when I was in high school, because I didn't think I was ever going to go anywhere with them, but I knew I always loved them. So when I was picking university and I was picking my program, I knew that I didn't want a job where I would be in one cubicle or like one place for the rest of my life. And I wanted the option to be able to travel around, constantly meet new people, have things that are challenging me at all times. So I went to journalism just thinking, like, at minimum, it'll teach me how to write. And then I can at least use that in different fields if I choose. And then my university just happened to have a field hockey program. And I reached out to the coach and she was like, I would love to see your tape. I would love for you to come in. And then one thing led to another, and it was, I don't know, fate, I guess. Because I also went to a really small school. So I think I got provided opportunities, especially in the sports world, that I might not have if I went to a bigger school. There was like less competition for that role, and I kind of created the job for myself. And I don't know, I'm really thankful with where I ended up, but I didn't actually go there with the intention of doing anything sports related.
So what were kind of some of your initial intentions with journalism, and kind of what drew you to it at first?
I think I wanted to be a war correspondent at first. Yeah, I always wanted to like do something that would make a difference, I guess. And I wanted to meet people that were genuinely interesting and doing things that could impact the world around us. And I wanted to go somewhere I'd never been before. And I've always been a little bit of a history buff. So I think I was like, oh yeah, war correspondent. Let's put myself in like the most dangerous areas I could physically put myself. And then I went, and then they showed us a bunch of footage of people dying in wars. And I was like,
good.
Maybe not, actually.
Yeah.
And then I just very stuck it out.
Very similar to, I think, what happens with a few people I know. They're like, oh, I could do the news. And then you start doing a few news stories. You're like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Yes.
Yeah. You're like, actually, that sucks. We're not going to do that. That happened to me in daily news when I was at school, too. I was like, if I learned anything, it's I will not be in a newsroom ever.
Yeah, my final year at SAITS, I had to cover what was the biggest mass murder in Calgary history for like the final year. And that caught was about 2 weeks covering that. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. This is why I want to do sports. I'm good. I did it. I said I covered it. I never want to do this ever again. I don't need to talk to grieving people. This sucks. This is not fun. It is
No.
not for the lighthearted to do this.
I don't understand how people do their entire life. You gotta be built different.
Yeah, you really do. It's a different side of everything. So when you're at university and everything like that, and like you said, like you know, I had this different side. When did the sports side start coming into that you could be able to, hey, I could do the photography for sport, and I can also do the journalism side for sport. When did that start kind of clicking in for you?
I think probably second year, like first year of university was so much just like trying to keep your head above water, figure out your scheduling, figure out how to balance life and school and playing on a team. And then second year, we were actually able to kind of report on the things that we wanted to report on and like go cover the things that we wanted to cover. And like the Mooseheads were doing really, really well that year, like the QMJHL team.
Yeah.
And then we also had the Halifax Hurricane season going on, and then that was the year that the Halifax Thunderbirds were getting introduced. So like the lacrosse team, and I was like, there's a lot happening here. And coming from Calgary, like hockey was obviously like half my childhood, and you grow up with the Flames, I'm sure you understand. And then I was
Yeah.
like, okay, like let's go to some Moosehead stuff, and the Mooseheads are actually pretty good. And I was like, okay, that was awesome. And I knew I loved the Roughnecks, and I'd been going to games when I was younger. And I was like, okay, there's a team out here. Let's go there. And then a friend of mine asked if I wanted to be. He couldn't cover a game, so he asked if I could go in his place and take photos and do coverage for a website called In Lacrosse We Trust. And then I did that story, and I was like, wow, that was really fun. Like. And there was something I liked about the almost casual tone to sports writing, where you could put a little bit of like description into it, you put a
Yeah.
little bit of flair into it, you can emphasize a little bit more. Like you want to paint the pictures versus like all the writing I'd been taught in school was so black and white, like no bias, it has to be straight down the middle. And I was like, okay, I can like put my brain onto paper and not get in trouble and not fail a class for putting my brain on the paper. So then after that, it was like all I did was cover lacrosse and basketball and hockey and anyone that got drafted to the World Juniors and anyone that was going to Canada. Like, and I then my teachers had to sit me down and said, you know, there's more to life than sports. And I said, no.
You were wrong. On the cross front, that's one of the worlds I haven't been able to cross over to yet, but I've heard a lot of positive things about the fan experience, the player experience, just that kind of whole world. It's just a different experience, but a lot of fun.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It reminds me a little bit of like not the sport itself, but the atmosphere is like a mixture of like the craziness of a hockey fan with like the music and the vibes of a basketball game. Like
Yeah.
there's never a quiet moment. Like there's always music, there's always something happening, there's always bustling. Like, but then they've got like the fanatic, crazy, like absolutely losing your mind cheering every minute of hockey. I don't know. Like you just don't want to sit down. It's like you can feel the electricity all the time.
Outside, before we kind of get to covering stuff for the Stingers and the dogs and whatnot, like what has been one of your, was that lacrosse at the top of the list for covering, or what has been a favorite moment of doing journalism or photography for outside of the Stingers and, you know, maybe the dogs even.
I think when I was at university and I started working for the like school paper, and I was doing sports stuff for them at all times. And I did mostly photography for them near the end, and I was covering U Sports basketball nationals, and that was unreal. I loved being able to sit on a court during that. And like there's something about like Halifax with sports, like there's not a lot else going on, so
Yeah.
everyone just funnels there. And it's like a packed house, and there's like every person you could have ever known in Halifax. And like that was super cool. And then I got to do a story about a CFL or a football guy who got invited to the CFL, but then turned it down because he knew he had too many concussions and he didn't want to like throw away his future. So he quit football, even though he had this path to become a professional so that he could go back to school and progress his future better. And I thought that was super cool too. Those are like my two big pre while I was still at university things, I guess.
Yeah, kind of like I talked about lacrosse, I've heard so much about, you know, talking to Global's Cammy Kepke and a few other people that have been out in the Maritimes, just about how different of a sports fan base it is and how underrated of fans and how passionate they are. They're like something that, and I know there was a CFL rumors out there for a while, but just how different the fan base. I mean, you've seen it when Nathan MacKinnon brought the cup home or when Sidney Crosby's brought the cup home, just how the passionate side of everyone is out there.
Oh yeah, and they just did a CFL showcase in Wolfville like 2 weeks ago maybe, and it was crazy. Like, it sold out. Everyone from back home was messaging me about like how cool it was to like have CFL at home, and they were like testing out if it would actually work out that way. And it, like, from what I could tell, 100% it would work out that way. They just have to find a way to fund their stadium, which has always been the battle and why they haven't had a CFL team. But even, like, the Halifax Wanderers, which is the same league as the Cavalry for soccer, they're sold out all the time. Like, the whole crowd is, like, painted in blue. Like, there's smoke bombs. Like, if there's a Wanderers game on, like, the city is shut down. Like, if you're not at the Wanderers game, like, you're nowhere. Wow. If there's a Thunderbirds game, same thing. Like, it's always full. There's like a dude dressed as Thor who's running around downtown, like crazy. And then Mooseheads, like anytime there's U Sports Championships going on, like it's like a ghost town unless you're in the arena. And it's, I think that's so awesome. Like, it's just this insane sense of community that like you don't see here, except for maybe when the Flames are in the playoffs and everybody is like,
but
fired
even then,
up,
it's not
but
like
it's
you
like
just know
everything.
Like that's you're talking about that side. Like, people just know everybody, and it's kind of like what we kind of experience, you know, covering the Dogs a little bit. It's like when you kind of really feel that small town, which I've never really experienced. I grew up in Calgary. Now I live in Cochrane, but I'm older in Cochrane. It's not like I know everybody in the community and whatnot. I just kind of do my own thing living out here, but, and we don't really have a sports team out here,
but it's like,
yeah. And Okotoks, everybody knows each other. It's like, oh, hey. It's just, you could feel that when Okotoks won the championship.
Oh, absolutely. And it's like you drive through the town if you're not at the game and you're like, oh, there's literally nobody here because everybody is at the game. And then you go to the arena, you go to the stadium, and like the cars are parked down the block and down the block and down the block. And it's just like, you know, that's where you're supposed to be, right? And that was the coolest part about being in Halifax, for sure.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of positive things about it. So getting to kind of the Stingers side of things. So, you know, we kind of talked about beforehand, and I think you mentioned a few times on here, basketball. That potentially probably is the biggest passion for sports to have. So tell me about how getting involved with the Stingers came about and the excitement of that day when you find out that you were going to be with them.
Okay, so I guess my involvement with the Stingers started when I was at university too, even if I didn't know that it had started then.
Right.
So I was photographing Dallas basketball championships, and I started to get to know the guys that were playing for Dalhousie. So like Kevan, who was an all-star for Hamilton the last 2 years, like Sasha Kapos, who was playing in 2020-2021. Alex Carson, who played in the 2021 season with the Stingers. Like, there's been a bunch of guys from Dal who got to join into the CEBL. So Sasha and I graduated the same year. That was the year that he, or the year after he got drafted to the Stingers. Yeah. 2020. 2021? One of those years.
Yeah.
Everything's blended in COVID. But so he had gotten drafted. I saw that he got drafted. And then I found out he was going to Edmonton. And I was like, that's super cool. Like, I'm in Calgary. And he said, for like old time's sake, you should come up to Edmonton and shoot a game for me, like take pictures of me playing. And I was like, oh, if you can get me in, I would be more than happy to take pictures of you playing basketball. So he put me in contact with the communications person for Edmonton at the time. And she let me in, and it was when there was no fans, nobody there except for the two teams. So I just got to like take my camera, wander around wherever I wanted, step on the court, go away. Like, it was like the coolest introduction ever. And then she ended up really liking my pictures because she said like one of the deals with me coming was just if I could share work with her. So I did, and she ended up absolutely falling in love with my work and hiring me to shoot the championship weekend that summer. So this was last year.
Yeah.
And I was like the official photographer for that. And I was like, I just walked into here. Like, that's crazy. And then 3 months later, it's end of October, early November, she says, hey, we need a person for BCLAs that are coming to Calgary. Edmonton's going to be playing in Calgary, hosting Nicaragua, Puerto Rico for BCLAs. She's like, La League loves your work. I love your work. We thought you did a fantastic job at championship weekend. Like, can we bring you on for this? And I was like, I don't care if I have a job. I don't care anything. Like, I will drop everything in the world to be there. And it was amazing. And like, I kind of wish Calgary showed up more for Edmonton, but when is Calgary ever going to show up for Edmonton?
Yeah, the crowd was okay. Note that I worked that as well.
It was okay.
But it was okay. I was a little disappointed. Specifically because Calgary has such a big Filipino community. When some people there said, like, what's the crowd? I'm like, the Filipino community is going to show up. I'm like, where's my Filipinos at? This is your guys' job. Yes.
I think now that Calgary has, like, a team and their name is going to be on the tin, like, they're going to have their own branding, people are going to show up. But it's like, Edmonton was playing, like, if the Oilers were playing, like, freaking anybody here and it wasn't Calgary, literally no one's gone except for like the handful of Edmonton fans that live here, right? So that was awesome. And then after BCLAs, they invited me back this year to be their official photographer for the whole season instead of just like championships again. Like, that's what happened last summer, and it was amazing. Like, and being there from like day one and getting to know all the players from day one and getting to know the front office staff and getting to know the game day staff and getting to know like everybody in that little community was unbelievable. But I felt a little bit lonely this time because all my Dow people had left.
Yeah. So, and how was the first season just kind of being in that world and getting to travel and getting to, you know, obviously didn't win this year and it was a very controversial final. Obviously, like we talked to Mason Boursier about with the final this year, but I think it was a very important and jump forward for the league this year with a lot of positive things happening. So I was in like, this is probably the league's best year and you were involved with it.
I agree. Like, even just the expansion that was made from last season to this season, bringing on Montreal and Scarborough and Newfoundland, like being able to add those teams, and now we're like the biggest league. And I think it was something like for kilometers traveled between teams, we're like one of the largest leagues in the world or something like that.
Drake involvement.
Absolutely. Like, having like J. Cole, as much as I think he's just a little bit of a PR stunt.
Of course.
But like having J. Cole, having Drake, like all those big names bringing the attention to the league, especially in the States where people don't, let's be real, take Canadian basketball that seriously. And like, having like people like Kevan who, and even Mason, like coming from U Sports, being those U Sports drafted players and having such a huge impression on the league and having such like important roles on their teams alone, I think was so important, especially for giving credibility to Canadian university basketball. I think also this year alone, I didn't quite, well, because last year fans were limited. There was a lot more restrictions. This was the first real season. So I think it really allowed me to see like the scope of what this league could actually be and like seeing how many people show up and seeing all the different kinds of events that you can have and like really seeing it starting to find its own. And like, as much as it's a little bit mimicky of the NBA, obviously, because that's kind of like G League, NBA is kind of where they're aiming for, like, it's kind of fun to see them trying to find their own little twists and seeing how each team does things differently. Like, being based in Edmonton, but then I got to fly out to Vancouver, and even just seeing like the difference in how like Edmonton hosts home games versus how Vancouver hosts home games, and like the different things that they're trying to emphasize in their arenas. Like, it was just so cool. that was a lot of jabbering. I'm so sorry.
No, that's why we're here. And you know, one of the cool things about this league is, and I when I talked to Jason Tolman, but I'm doing a lot of name dropping today. I apologize. But when I talked to Jason, there's been some minor, I think the WNBA has to maybe come here first, but there has been minor talk about potentially getting a women's league out here. And I think that would be such a huge stride because, you know, watching the U Sport teams, watching the ACAC teams that we have just here in Alberta, CCA overall, yeah. like there's a lot of talented women. And for a lot of these Canadian women players, for example, there's no real life after basketball for some of them. And I think that'd be such a great outlet for some of them. And, you know, you and I are two, you know, great ambassadors for the women's game out here, obviously. But I think that's hopefully the next stride that we can see is the shout out of this and having the Canadian semi-professional league.
Oh, for sure. And in general with women's sports, like we've seen it with the Women's Hockey League that's in the process of kind of coming up again after, you know, they had their league a couple of years ago, they lost their funding, they went under, and now they're slowly starting to rebuild on their own. I would just love to see more people kind of coming to the backs of women's sports and helping providing that funding, helping like give it a level of seriousness that we provide to men's sports. Like, I'm super pumped we have women's hockey, but like there's no branding. Like, nobody knows when games are going on. Like, I would love to see that with
terrible.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
And how did they ever expect anybody to come out and come support these teams when nobody knows they're happening? And
yeah.
I'm excited to see how Calgary CBL this team does. And I'm excited to see if a women's league can kind of tag along a little bit. And then kind of hopefully I want the CBL to maybe make a women's division and have them work together, build each other up and show there's like a, I don't know, a form of equality between the sexes and between the leagues, right? Like nothing's better than another. It's just different, right?
Well, you know, you also, you work at Mount Royal as a sports information assistant. How have you watched that, the growth of seeing, because it changed your vision of athletes now, getting to see, you know, athletes from basketball, volleyball, soccer, so on. And you work with some fantastic females there, like Claire, just an absolute Hall of Famer, Claire Crawley, just the best.
We love Claire.
She's the best. She coached my sister, so I'm a little bit biased on that side of things. So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she coached my sister at the U of A. Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Yeah,
no, it's interesting. Like, I think how people view university sports and professional sports are very different. So my experience in the professional sports world is it's very, like, male-heavy. Like, people come out for all the guys' games, but when I'm here, like, women's volleyball was like the sport to see when they were here. Yeah. Women's basketball, like, no offense, I love all of the teams here with all of my heart, but like men's basketball, men's volleyball, put them aside, like bring the girls out, like all the women's numbers would put the men's numbers to shame. And I thought that was unbelievable. Like, that was really cool to see. And like, we have such powerhouse people playing on our teams, and I'm excited to see how our new recruits come out this year. But I think, like, soccer-wise, though, it's weird. Like, soccer, the men's team, especially after all their success last year, going to Final Four, hosting Final Four for Canada West, and then, like, it was weird. Like, the women's team, soccer, no, but men's soccer, absolutely. And then men's hockey and women's hockey, like, both completely tops in the nation for most of the year. And then you get to basketball, volleyball, it's all about the women. Like, it's just very interesting to watch.
It's going to be very exciting for you this year because obviously there was no traditional Crow Child Classic. So obviously you got to be pumped to have like be part of your first Crow Child Classic this year.
I'm super excited. It's supposed to be coming up in February. I think we're figuring out location still, if it's going to go back to the Dome or not, but I'm super excited to kind of see the rivalry face to face and its full emphasis. Right.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous, though. It's going to be a lot of work.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of work. And I think just kind of having the grandstand come back, it's so interesting. And I've talked to so many people about this that have been in the university sphere. And you're kind of just coming off of this. But that year, coming back to university sport from the pandemic was just one of the most interesting years, right? Because you had seniors that held off to come back a year. You had like a double recruiting period because you had grade 11s and 12s that were coming. You had grade 11s that never got to have their senior year that were coming. So obviously some that maybe would have gone to U Sports, they couldn't get in right away because it was double booked. So some of them went to CCAA or some of them just took a year off from their sport. It's probably, I mean, we'll hopefully never see anything like that, but again, but the recruiting process during that time continues to be so interesting with the athletes at that point.
Well, it's still like trickling over into now, right? Like we still have those people that were third years, for example, in that pandemic, but they're still holding off to, like, we have Quintel, and I think she's going into her sixth technical year of school, right? Like, she's still holding off from pandemic times. And then you had all the recruitment last year, and the season last year was so strange because half the team had never played in a varsity game at this level before. So all they had done was development, because you're right, they had a double recruiting class. So there was just so much development and practice at home that you didn't get to see what was going on. You didn't know who left at the other schools. You didn't know where they were at. Like, so many coach turnovers happened over that time. Like, it was like everyone just joined the league brand new, fresh, and had no idea what to expect. And I think this year is also going to be very interesting because we've only had one season back. And I think there's a lot of high expectations for those teams that performed really well, but then it's not going to go how everyone anticipates it to go. And I don't think any of the coach polls are going to pull through for this season because, again, like, so many people, like, even from RU alone, like, we had guys leave to sign pro contracts. We had guys graduate. Now they're in the coaching staff, like, all things like that. So it's just, I don't think anybody's going to have any idea what to expect. Like, I don't know. I'm so excited. There's just so much, so many new bodies, so many new faces.
And you would hope this year there's no major COVID missed games. I think it might be in a better place. I remember last year, December, I was very excited. Just before Christmas, we had the Mount Royal and the Dinos game at UFC. And that game, unfortunately, stuff came up there and it had to be delayed for a day and for a month, because we had to cancel that game on December 30th.
Yeah, I was about to say.
But hopefully we're in the clear this year, and hopefully that brings up more fans and like less restrictions and everything. I think, you know, the word, you know, kind of looking at more fuller schedules and stuff. So obviously I share your excitement on that side to kind of share the sports a little bit more this year and a little bit back to normal, which you kind of felt with the volleyball tournament at the end of in March.
The
U Sport playoffs at the Jack, like, you started feeling a little bit of more normalcy near the end of the U Sport season last year.
Well, for sure. And then this season we have travel back for Canada West. Yeah. So like U of A, McEwen, Lethbridge, U of C, Calgary, like, we're not stuck in Alberta anymore. Yeah. So we're going to get to see Saskatchewan. We're going to get to see Manitoba. We're going to get to see Victoria. We're going to get to see Trinity Western. We're going to get to see Thompson River. Like, we're going to get the whole spectrum there now. And I, like, that's the other thing. I don't think any of these teams that played last year, they didn't get to actually play each other until the very end. So it's going to be super fun to see how they hold up in regular season. So with travel, and then now that people are back on campus, you can advertise games better, and people are going to already be on campus, so they're going to be more inclined to stick around for games. Whereas last year, you're already at home for half your classes. It's a little bit harder to convince yourself to come in for a game, right? Like, I'm excited to see how the fan base goes and how, like, the overall just entertainment and experience goes.
And it's for me, for the women's game too, I'm so excited to see some, like, last year we got to see Scott Edwards from the U of A, obviously, and his story is continuously, like, coming up so short to try to win that championship. But, you know, he mentioned Saskatchewan, you get to see Lisa Tomaitis, who's an absolute legend, right? You're getting to see an up-and-coming coach that did a lot with Canada for the 3-3 this year, where they're in Macalena, who's rising up the ranks from UBC. So that's exciting for me, is some of these women's coaches that are doing such a good job and building some of these programs up, you know, getting a chance to talk to Lisa a little bit, for example, but getting to know, like, get to see the way that she coaches in person is really exciting for me personally.
Oh, for sure. Like, there's just so much that you miss when you're watching a broadcast, right? Like, there's those little comments to the teams, like, little ways that they emphasize, like, plays, like, how they direct their teams, like, all of those kinds of little things that you can miss when you're watching the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Wow, there's something so exciting about being on sidelines. You just take in so much more.
Yeah, and I guess you guys are getting close because soccer's got to be coming up pretty close here.
Yeah, our women's home opener is a week today, actually.
Wow.
So next week. And then on the Saturday is our men's home opener. We had a week ago, just over a week ago, we had all of our staff in to do our training for this season. We've been hosting volleyball camps still this year, so like campus is still buzzing. Like, we have lots going on, everyone's getting excited, everyone's getting pumped up. Our men and our women have also just been doing exhibitions in BC. Our men were just down in the States. They actually pulled pretty good. I think they went 3-0. I don't honestly remember who they played, so don't ask me that right now. But no, they've been playing pretty well. I think their first actual games, though, are this Saturday. They're both on the road. I'm a very organized person. Do you see my schedules with all the stuff?
Yeah.
These are all their teams? Yeah.
Exciting times.
I try very hard to stay on top of it all, but
that.
There's a lot to stay on top of.
How did that Mount Royal job come for you?
I've been involved with MRU since I was like 2, maybe. My father's been a professor here since I was as long as I can remember. So I've always been around MRU. And then when I was like 14, I worked in the summer camps here. And then I went until I was doing summer camps until I left for university. And then I graduated university, COVID 2020. I came back, knew I wanted to kind of stay in the university level for right now until I could build my portfolio, figure myself out, figure out my path going forward. I knew I wanted to stay in sports. There was just a posting online, and because my dad has all of these emails from the university, he saw the posting, he forwarded it to me, and he's like, this is exactly what you've been wanting. So that's how that happened.
It seems like a match made in heaven there.
I know. It's nice to have an in, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And then with the dogs, which is where our initial connection began with, how did that come about for you?
So you know Jacob Cerro.
Yeah.
Little media coordinator man for the dogs. We were in high school at Churchill together. And just for grade 12, he transferred over from Notre Dame. We were like great friends. I went to university, lost a little bit of touch, came back, ended up getting back in touch, ended up being really close again. He got this job with the dogs. He was super excited. They presented him with the materials that they had from last year and said, okay, have fun, make it your own. And then he called me almost immediately and said, Ellery, I have no usable pictures. I need you to come like yesterday and take pictures for me so I have a way to elevate the work that we've been doing and make us look even better this season going forward. So I came out for Canada Day, I think was the first game that I came out for.
Wow.
I was in Edmonton for all of half of May and all of June. So then I came up for Canada Day, and I completely honestly think I'd only ever been to one other baseball game before that, and it was the New York Mets when I was 15.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then I was like, wow, I actually really like baseball. And then I said, hey, can I come back tomorrow? And he said, yeah, but like, I already got everything I need. And I said, okay, well, I'll be back tomorrow. And then I kept coming back and I kept coming back and I kept coming back. And I think I ended up going to like 8 games by the end. And then I invited myself to the championships and took pictures of the championships.
Yeah. How was the championship? You had a nice dress and were on the field shooting.
Yeah, Aurora, the Serini jewelry girl, told me that I should dress up with her for the final game just for fun. And I honestly went for the championship mostly just to be there and watch. Because after you spend the season, well, half the season with everybody, like, you make friends with the people on the team and you make friends with the people that work at the games. And I just genuinely was, like, invested in how they were going to do. And I had thought that they were going to end it in Moose Jaw on the road, obviously, like we had all thought so, especially after their unbelievable win at home. I was like, how do you, but then I was joking around saying it's always better to win at home anyways. Like, you have the fans, you have your family, like all that. They came back and I was like, I'm calling in sick to work. I'm not going to work tonight. I will be going to the baseball game. And then I went to the baseball game. I brought my camera, but I was a little too antsy to shoot. So I ended up really only taking pictures of them rushing the field when they won and tackling each other like that giant dog pile by the third by third base. And then when they announced Luther as that MVP, like all of the hugs, like that was just so like heartwarming to see. Like they, I feel like you kind of miss how much of like a family that team really is until you're up close and personal with them on the field, right? Like baseball, you're so spread out, you don't necessarily catch on to how close they are, but those boys just like love each other, they do anything for each other, and it was cool to just like be able to see how genuinely pumped they were to win, but like not just for themselves, like they were genuinely excited for each other. Like you could see them like congratulating each other before they were like cheering for themselves, and I think that was like one of the things I love most about sports, right? Same with you, I'm assuming.
It's one of the it's the only bummer about the dogs for me this season is when I do basketball, even volleyball, for the variety of times, and most of them down at the desk, so you get that interaction with the players, you get to know them through the year, and you know, as the year goes on, they hear our calls, so they kind of follow us on social and stuff like that, but like I didn't really get to know like a Matt Wilkinson, for example, and I wish I would have, or the Tucker Zadunich, or Pierce McCoy, like, but you could feel how excited everybody was afterwards down on the field, and I, you know, I got the chance to see the Trojans win this year. That felt a little bit more, I was like, oh, I know these people personally. So that was the only downside, but it was a really special feeling when they won. It was funny. The kids were trying to jump into their pitchers consistently, which I was like, man, Ellery and the team is probably getting really annoyed by now because these kids are just trying to sabotage every single thing here with the celebration of the pitchers.
Yeah, you just see Ricky going into full dad mode, like, okay, boys, you can come back later. Everybody scooch off to the side now. It was very cute. No, it was, those, but like, it's like we said with that community feeling when it comes to sports, like those fans are kind of a part of that team. You know what I mean? Like the numbers that they get, they're pulling like 4,500, 5,000 people per game, and it'll be like a Wednesday night or something. And I like, you don't get that anywhere else. And I think that made their championship so much more special. But yeah, you really just got locked in the press box, but at least you got to be up there for the final game.
I did. That was the plus of them losing game two, is I got to be part of the final game with Geno. So that was that was pretty special. Didn't get to have the main call, but you know, Geno's a veteran and lucky and happy that he was able to have that call and just be there for it all.
You should have just elbowed him out of the way and taken it.
Yeah, should have. I guess we have two parts left here. So I guess now just what's in the future? What are some future goals now going forward?
Well, I don't want to jinx myself by any means, but I'm in the works of trying to build a contract to go shoot for the PGA Tour in October.
Wow.
So that'll be down in Bermuda, hopefully, knock on wood. We're just really, we're in the process of sorting out budgets, so it looks promising. I really hope I, you know, get to meet Will Zalatoris and Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods and all these fancy people that I've absolutely adored watching for the longest time.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I just, and it's in Bermuda, so like I can't complain any
just as direction. The things in Alberta are about to turn.
I know. So I think that's probably near future. Just like you, I'm actively working towards getting that involvement for the Calgary CBL team. Like, I genuinely just want to be a part of the growth of this league. And I think by being able to help build this up from something that started so small, it'll also help put me in a good position to reach like NBA goals someday. And I'm sure you also relate when you come from Canada and you're trying to break into something like the NBA, which is very American heavy. Like, I don't have I don't have NCAA experience. I'm not living in a city that has an NBA team. Like, and there's so many people that have the dream, right? So just actively trying to put things
with basketball.
Oh yeah.
You just gotta be involved
in, and they don't wanna, just like you, like it's just constantly trying to give yourself those opportunities to build your portfolio, to build your resume, to like set you apart, to really show that you have like the drive, the passion, the skill for this kind of line of work. So yeah, and then I'm still doing all my, I work a lot with Kenny, like the assistant coach for the Stingers. We've been like doing a lot to try and develop his basketball brand, his training company, all that kind of stuff. So I'm as much as I say I'm not basketball focused, I think subconsciously my brain is always like, no, you're gonna stick in basketball, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah. No, it's dragging you down to there. All right, what we like to finish is with a little bit of word association for some stuff. So just some kind of quick shoot. You can go a little bit more than one answer, but we just kind of do just some kind of quick shots here on the side of things. So favorite sneaker.
Okay. Oh my God. Jordan 4 infrared.
Yeah. Favorite track to pump you up.
All the Lights by Kanye West.
Nice. favorite player of all time, basketball.
Sue Bird.
Hell yeah. Favorite hockey player.
Corey Crawford, Chicago Blackhawks bully.
And you were talking about the PGA. So out of all those golfers you just listed with Rory and Tiger and all them, favorite golfer?
Favorite? I think Will Zalatoris. I think seeing him grow is just unbelievable. He's still so young, but he's so talented, and he just took home a win. So,
favorite moment with Mount Royal so far?
Women's volleyball taking home the U Sports silver medal.
Favorite picture you've been able to take in your career so far?
Last summer, Stingers Championship, Andre Pierre losing his freaking mind while his team was spraying champagne in the background.
Best camera
that I like, that I own, or that I would love to own?
Let's go with both.
That I own, 90D, that I would love to own, 60 Mark III.
Best, let's say, last meal prison for food.
Just like a 10 liter gallon bowl of mashed potatoes.
Nice. There we go. Thanks, Ellery, so much. And again, I'm going to take that. What's the Instagram so people can just see some of your fantastic pictures and work there?
Ellery's Photography. Don't forget the S. ELLERYS Photography.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. Best of luck this year with everything with MRU. As the U Sports season is about to wrap up here, you can find her, hopefully, we'll not jinx it, in the future with the Calgary CLB team, and obviously stuff with the Stingers still ongoing, and the PGA coming up soon.
Fingers crossed. I hope to see you there, Josh.
Yeah, hopefully. Until next time, everyone, cheers and enjoy the day.
You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.